Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for tuning us in. Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Jennifer McGinnis, a.k.a. Frau Zinni, is a blogger, photographer, writer, and author who enjoys gardening of all kinds. She is the author of two books, Microfood Gardening, and her newest book, which just came out, Bird Friendly Gardening. Welcome to the program, Jennifer.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, we thank you for taking time out of your day, not only educate Holly and myself, but all of our listeners. And let me start with this. What is microfood gardening? That seems like a new term that many of our listeners may not be familiar with.
Sure. So microfood gardening focuses on plants that stay very compact. So you'll be able to grow edibles even if you only have a front porch, a window box, or a windowsill. And part of the fun with microfood gardening is selecting those petite varieties of plants to grow and then choosing the container options to grow them in. So generally speaking, it's any edible plant that's approximately 18 inches or smaller when it has reached its harvest size. And there's some vines that might grow a little bit larger, but they still produce those mini-sized fruits. And personally, I really enjoy growing micro tomatoes because they can be grown in small pots and they take up a fraction of the space as a regular indeterminate tomato would.
Now, would that be like tiny Tom tomatoes and tiny Tim peas? Is that, am I right on those? Or, I mean, I'm sure there's other variety names there.
Yeah, those are two of them. I also like the Muhammad tomato, and there's one called Florida Petite. That makes a really nice tomato fruit too.
So your new book, your newest book, Bird Friendly Gardening, just came out a couple of weeks ago or last week. Can you tell us about, you know, an interesting part of it, something that might intrigue our listeners and what they expect when they're going to pick up a copy?
Sure. So when I pitched this idea, my goal was to write a book where people who were not necessarily bird experts would be able to pick it up and say, like, I want to help birds, but I need some ideas. Or I know a little bit about native plants and why they're important, and I want to do more with my garden to support wildlife. So this book is filled with ideas of how to create a bird-centered habitat, whether your available space is a small balcony, a medium-sized yard, or a large plot of land. And it includes so many reference graphics with in-depth information on native plants that either provide food or cover or nesting sources for birds, along with their growing conditions. And I'm really happy that the book is now available. It's something I've worked on for a long time, and I hope people find it to be a useful resource when they're making their gardens more bird-friendly, too.
Now, we've been putting up more bird feeders around our home, and you like to attract we like to attract songbirds. What are some tips to attract them to your garden or yard? Is there a key food or a type of bird feeder that's more conducive to the birds, or what's the key here, or is there a key?
Yeah, so bird feeders are a great way to attract birds to the garden, and there's a lot of different types of bird feeders. You could have suet feeders, regular seed hopper feeders. Now there's a lot of fun, like tech-savvy bird feeders that are available on the market that help you with bird ID, and they take photos, and they're really cool. But one of the most important things you can do when you're putting up bird feeders is making sure you keep them clean and you remove any soiled food. But if you want to attract even more birds to your garden year-round, planting native plants in your garden will help in three ways, because they will provide the insects that the birds will eat. Also, they may also provide seeds or fruit that the birds eat. They will provide cover to hide from predators, and they can provide nesting material and safe places to build nests to raise their young. So those are all things that birds are looking for if they want to spend time like in your garden. And then one bonus thing that you can include to attract even more birds is having a source of fresh, clean water, such as a bird bath or something that has like a moving water. And that's a sure way to attract them in too.
So not something just stagnant. You want something that has some type of movement to agitate the water. Is that kind of what you're looking at, because they don't like stagnant water, or is there problems with it?
Ideally, moving the water will help keep, you know, mosquitoes mm-hmm. away, and then it helps it not to get, like, murky. Basically, if you wouldn't want to drink the water, the birds probably wouldn't right. want to drink it either. So anything that, you know, you can keep it fresh and clean, dump it out every couple of days and keep it fresh will definitely help attract them.
They have these really low-key solar panel water fountains that you can incorporate into a little stagnant pond, which is, you know, really neat now.
Yeah. And they work really well. I have a little solar pump that I put in my bird bath, and I, you know, anchor it down with some flat rocks, and just that moving water really helps bring in some birds. They're attracted to that sound, and it's cool. It's fun to see them like splashing around in there when they bathe and when they drink water, and the whole group of them show up. So I'm easily entertained by it.
Well, and the noise is soothing and relaxing to the human as well, not just the birds.
That's absolutely correct. Yeah.
Fantastic. So there is a misconception, especially with older gardeners at times, that birds can be bad for the garden, especially tomatoes. How are birds perhaps not, you know, how is that like an old wives' tale?
Yeah, old wives' tale.
You know, why do people say that they're not beneficial to the garden, they're harmful to the garden? And perhaps maybe why are they attacking the tomatoes?
Yeah, so for the tomatoes, if you have birds that are actually going after tomatoes or even like squirrels, because I think they are more common actually than the birds, it's likely because they're thirsty, especially in the heat of the summer. So you could set up a bird bath on like another side of your garden, and that will likely draw them to that side and away from your tomatoes. Personally, I haven't had that happen. I've definitely had the squirrels come by and do that though. And once they had a ground level bird bath to access, I had a lot more luck with keeping my tomatoes intact.
Right. Well, we often talk about starting vegetable seeds, but not necessarily flowers. What are some annual flower seeds that are best to start indoors, or direct seed or other flower seed starting tips to help us all out? Because we're all kind of focused on the vegetable world, but we don't think, oh, let's do some flowers. Now, Holly's going to do flowers this year for the first time in forever.
Flower seeds.
Flower seeds, specific.
Awesome. Which flower seeds are you going to do?
I'm doing kind of a goth garden concept. So I'm doing some black flowers. I'm drawing a blank as to which ones they are. But there's a cosmos that I have.
Sunflower?
A super dark red. Like, I think it's called like a cherry cola sunflower.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
And then I think it's either like a pansy variety or a viola variety. Those are kind of the same. So I have some darker colored hued flowers.
That's gonna look awesome. Another nice dark flower that you may want to consider is those Nicotianas. They're really good to start indoors too. I think they need about 6 to 8 weeks before your last frost date. So depending on, you know, where you are right now, you either might just make it or you might just be a little past it. But those are great. And then some dark dahlias might be great to start early too from seed. I really like to start zinnias indoors too, if I have the space, just so I can get a jump on that blooming period, even though zinnias will still do okay if you direct sow them outside. But I have to have my flowers as soon as I can. and then you could also do coneflowers. They can be started from seed now. And in the fall, they'll make really nice, individual self-serving bird feeders for those finches, because they will fly onto them and perch on them and eat from them. So that's another great plant that you could start now. And, you know, it takes a little bit of time it does do well with a little bit of a head start indoors, but, you should be able to have blooms by the end of the season.
Well, I want to circle back to the bird feeder thing, because what we've experienced, and I'm sure other people have, is you have two or three bird feeders and everything's going great, and then the next year or later in the season, you have a pasture of grasses underneath that bird feeder from everything they've kicked out, the millet or the milo. Is there any reason why they're kicking that out? Is it because it may be low quality bird seed and you need to kind of up your game and get the better stuff, or what's going on there?
It really depends on the type of birds that are coming to your feeders. Like if you get a lot of house sparrows, they will naturally just kind of pick through everything and throw it on the ground, which can be like a win-win for those mourning doves and the other Native American sparrows that kind of feed along the ground. So they'll pick up most of it, but it is likely that you'll have some discarded waste. There's a certain bird seed that birds will eat. Like cardinals really like safflower seed. So, you know, if you want to bring them in, you could put that out. Black oil sunflower seed is a good choice too. The millet will attract, I believe, the house sparrows and the doves. So, yeah, it really depends on who you're looking for. And it's not necessarily that your quality of seed is bad. It just might be who's showing up at your feeder. And usually in the spring, it is good to kind of sweep everything up and try to get to it before it starts sprouting. Cause you're right. It could be like a little forest by the time May comes around. Right.
But also if you want to be aware of what these seedlings look like when they're germinating, because if they're sunflower seeds like that you want to let them be, because you can have very pretty sunflowers. And that's how we've had several volunteer sunflowers in our garden, because the birds have kicked them out of the bird feeder.
Yeah, that's a great point, especially with those black oil sunflower seeds. I think in my case, usually they get trampled by the squirrels. But if you have them showing up and growing, that sounds fantastic.
Have you ever had experience with more of like the bully birds, like the crows, and even I think sometimes a red-winged blackbird? Mm-hmm. If people do have too many of those in their yard, do you have any advice as to how to kind of get them out to encourage the more friendly birds, I guess?
The more beloved ones.
Yes.
We get a lot of flocks, especially now in the spring, of the European starlings coming through and like the grackles, and they will definitely like take over the feeders and just wipe you out, especially if you have suet out. So one way to try to discourage them and have them move along is, you know, by taking away the suet for a little bit, because they really do love to chow down on that. And then choosing seed like the safflower seed, they will pass over that and they really won't eat it unless they're absolutely starving. But for the most case, they'll probably fly to your neighbor's house and raid their bird feeder instead, and leave yours alone. So that's kind of one way to tackle it. If they really become like a nuisance, you can, you know, stop filling the feeders for a couple of days until that flock moves along. That's probably the easiest solution, depending on how aggressive they are showing up.
Okay. Well, Jennifer, we greatly appreciate the time you've offered. How can our listeners find out more about you? How can they get your books and all of that?
Oh, sure. Well, you can visit my website at frauzinnie.com, and that's FrauZinnie. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook as frauzinnie also. And Microfood Gardening and Bird Friendly Gardening is available at all the major booksellers and on Amazon. So it's pretty easy to find and locate. So I hope a lot of people check it out and really enjoy what it has to offer.
Well, we thank you for your time and the information you've shared with Holly, myself, and all of our listeners. Thank you very much for that.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks again for having me on.
Absolutely.